Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the number one.
Oh yeah,
Penguins podcast.
Oh,
I'm your host Adi McDuke.
Yeah,
I'm joined as always by Dr. Hoji the Electric Smoji,
one and only baby,
and John Dean Martin Sheeran.
Oh, the leather sides.
So look, guys. First, let us talk about introduction, because you're watching this show here. But you are not interacting. You are not.
No.
You are not voting, which I've been told is actually a way for people to have what they call rights.
Democracy.
Right, right. And I've HR training has had its effect on me. But I would say this.
Well, it was a compulsory for you. You were going to get fired if they would be removed from the show if you didn't do the training. I mean, it wasn't voluntary.
Well, Courtney runs a tight ship. But I will say this, if you go to brinks.tv, you can answer trivia questions. Like, Hoji, what kind of questions did you put on?
Well, like, I would like to know, has Daddy been vaccinated for COVID yet or not? I think that would be a good trivia question.
that's the thing, is you have to answer.
I've gotten all of them. I've gotten all three.
All three. So that's good. So you got your third your booster. That's great.
I got those. I've gotten the Sinopharm, the Chinese one. I've gotten the Sputnik, the Russian one. I believe in science, unlike some people.
Really? Okay. Well, look, I mean, obviously, John, we have a lot of questions about John and how much.
Daddy, you're not immune from answering that question, man.
Yeah.
I feel like you just dodged it.
We're going to have a whole other HR thing now.
Okay.
We're going to Aaron Rodgers you out of the starting position of this show.
To answer your question directly, I have taken care of my health.
Yeah, horse tranquilizers. And that's what really bothers me, is that you don't even use the right wrong medicine. Right. You're not supposed to use, you're using horse tranquilizers.
They help me sleep. Look, let us talk about Brinks TV real quick, because we have a lot to cover. We have a very special guest.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about Courtney. Yeah. This time I'm going to get it right. So let me just... Okay. So on the Brinks channel, they have a new podcast. It's called Roseanne Barr. It's about the saga of Roseanne Barr being prohibited from television. Very fascinating.
That was canceled.
That was canceled. It was made up in your mind. And I know why you like Roseanne Barr, because you're a fascist.
Okay,
you're always going to be a fascist.
There is also The Great American Rebound, I'm reading here, which is, it is about diplomacy, and it is hosted by former NBA All-Star Dennis Rodman.
And okay, I can't even tell if that's real or not, but I don't think it is. I'm going to go with false, fake news. No way.
But obviously there's the Ray Lewis show.
I mean, we all know how you feel about the North Korean leadership, Daddy, but that's your thing.
There's a Ray Lewis show. It's a real show with the real Ray Lewis, and he has real guests.
Now that's true.
Hold on. This week he had Charlie Sheen was one of his guests.
Because the show
is about integrity, sincerity, and the championship mentality. And so Charlie Sheen, obviously, he rose to prominence when he had a problem with his vision, and he corrected it, and he turned out to be a great pitcher. So
Wait, that was a movie. That's not the real Charlie Sheen. That's Charlie Sheen playing a role.
Yeah.
The real Charlie Sheen said some really nasty things and was fired from Two and a Half Men.
Well, there's also the Randy Quaid was on there recently. And Randy Quaid, of course, he overcame the limitations of living on an Amish farm. He
ran. Okay, no.
His literature is so bad, I don't know what he's messing up.
He is. I know what movie that is, too. I can't remember. It's the guys who did Dumb and Dumber.
Okay, look. There was Mike Vick was on there, Derek Brooks, and Eric Dickerson was on.
This sounds true. This sounds true.
That is crazy, Courtney. How did you get Eric Dickerson on that show before on our show? That is crazy. Yeah,
that hurts.
Okay, but
I'm really sorry. Ray's a little up in the rankings.
Oh my gosh, the truth comes out.
Okay, so let us move on. But yeah, so go to Brinks.tv and you can play those games and win the prizes and $1 billion every week. Let us go to week
billion nine. Dollars every week.
Yeah, Courtney's loaded. Yeah. Look, let's go to week nine recap.
Oh my gosh. And can I tell you the idea of how I feel? One word comes to mind how I feel today, the Monday following that loss of getting creamed by the Browns, which aren't even a very good team. And that's why I'm so happy about our special guest, because she's someone who really can be an optimist and maybe tell me why I should see the sunny side of life.
Well,
I just want to say the word that I'm feeling is disgusted. I am disgusted today.
Well, we are a special guest is a master of making you less disgusting.
Yes.
And making the show very pleasant and informative and all the things that normally is not. And with that, I want to introduce
the one and only.
The one and only host of the Marissa Contepelli Show and president of the Cincinnati Bengals,
great
Marissa Contepelli.
Hey.
There we go.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us again. Marissa, look, Hoji is being very, very pessimistic about the Bengals.
Yeah.
And yes. I think it's ridiculous. I think you win some, you lose some. But he lost hope after the 41-16 game, even though that was only 2 weeks after we won a game 41-17. It's the same thing. They canceled each other out. Mm-hmm. But please give us.
But listen, can I give you one quick thing? Because I want you to address this. I was the one after the Jets lost. I was the one who said all teams lose. We didn't get creamed. You can lose to any team nowadays.
Very insightful.
That is not how I felt. After this loss, I felt that there were certain things that were exposed. And I felt that, to be honest with you, on the defense, we have what might be called a talent deficiency. And that's why I would love to hear from you. I think the coaching was great. I do not blame Burrow. I understand everybody can have a bad game.
Marissa, tell him why. It's just one game. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I disagree with you on, I think there's a boatload of talent on the Bengals defense. They just kind of, got a little bit picked apart the last 2 weeks. But no, don't be discouraged. I think there is still plenty to be optimistic about when it comes to this team. I mean, if you had said we'd be 5-4 going into the bye, I mean, I know the last 2 weeks didn't play out the way that we would have liked it to. But, I think a lot of people would have been pleasantly surprised with that, given how the last couple of years have gone. And you said it. I mean, Joe Burrow has made great strides in year two. There's a lot to like from what we've seen out of this Bengals team from the first half of the season. And, the last 2 weeks, definitely not what you wanted to see. But I think this bye week is definitely coming at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let us move on to the next section.
Well, can we, Brandon Batchelor? Anyway,
this show is not psychological.
No, not the show. I think Brandon's question is a legitimate one. Okay. And that's why before we move on, let's address it because you put it on the screen. Brandon.
But I don't know who it's addressing the question.
It's saying, it's very complicated. It's saying, Daddy-o, my name is Brandon. I don't know if he is a bachelor or if his last name is Bachelor. Please ask Mariska.
Mariska.
He's probably writing from Russia. He's probably Russian.
It could be your vaccine people following up. Go ahead.
Yeah. If this is psychological, that's the part I want to get to. I will say one thing about Joe Burrow. The man looked deflated. The man looked, and this was mid-game. This was before the second half. The man looked tired. Tell me about that. Is it psychological?
I mean, I can't really speak for Joe Burrow or the players, but I mean, you know, this team, and it's, you know, every athlete, you take one game at a time. So you have a bad game, you have a bad loss, you're going right into the next one. You're putting that behind you. So, I mean, I don't think there were any ill effects coming off of the Jets game going into the Browns game. It just didn't work out. I mean, it was very uncharacteristic. We had some drops from receivers defensively. I mean, they wanted to limit explosive plays, and the Browns had a number of explosive plays. So, you know, I don't think it's a psychological thing at all. I think these guys are professionals and are able to kind of, you know, go about their business and go into each game, you know, with the right mentality, which, you know, we really do see for the most part from this team.
Yeah, Marissa, I want to. Yeah, I think it's ridiculous to say it's psychological. Look, these guys are so young. They, mm-hmm. You know, young people, they don't actually have short-term memories. I don't know if you know that.
That's not true. That's not true.
No, like babies, they have no idea of you know, object permanence or anything.
Yeah, these guys are like in their 20s. They are grown men.
But
if they didn't understand object permanence, they wouldn't be able to catch a ball. That would be like you.
No, it wasn't this yesterday.
Okay. Look, Marissa, I want to go to the next question or the next topic, which was obviously submitted by our fans. I don't know who writes this stuff, Courtney. I don't know how it gets on our screen.
I know,
but it is saying, do you sack Zach or can you get
Zach back track on track? Oh my gosh, that's hard to say.
Yeah,
You sack Zach or should you get Zach back on track?
Back to back. Yeah.
And is it puns or back to back?
It is.
It's because you had back to back attacks from really hacks.
Yeah. You had a lot of running backs that were attacking our defense and Zach.
And you had a lack of, you know.
Marissa, I'm so sorry for this show. Again, it is getting derailed by the
can it be fixed by snacks?
I don't know if you know this, Marissa, but there is the Believe in Bengals podcast, and they have real co-hosts. They have Adam Snackman Jones and Pac-Man. They have Solomon Wilcots, and Wilcots. Their show is still doing tremendously.
Yeah,
I this is the first time I'm revealing this. I told the Believe people, can you get me a real co-host?
Right.
And at the time,
I took real offense to that.
Yeah, me too.
Look, Marissa, here's the thing: a lot of people are putting on Zach Taylor. When I watched the film, and by that I mean the first 3 minutes of the YouTube highlights and 1.5 speed, when I was watching that very carefully, I noticed that the pass protection, for instance, was fine, you know, and like you said, there were some drop passes, there were some plays where Joe Burrow, I think like on that end zone interception, mm-hmm. where he seemed to underestimate, let's say, the defender's speed, because the defender kind of turned Denzel Ward or something. He like kind of turned one way and he didn't think he could make it back in time. So just kind of some mental errors, you know. But it seemed like it could have been a close game if we didn't have those, you know, turnovers and those kind of early kind of mishaps. So what do you think about this kind of ludicrous, Marissa, can you not let Zach back in the building?
Well, let Marissa talk.
That is ridiculous. Get that off the screen. That is insulting to all of us here. That is, no, Marissa, don't answer that. Obviously, she cannot let him back. She is the owner of the Bengals, but she will let him back.
Yeah, let's hear from Marissa. Or Mariska, however you prefer.
Well, I mean, Zach is absolutely capable of getting this team back on track. I mean, it just goes back to what we had seen early on in the season. Don't forget, this team was 5-2. They were first in the AFC for an extended period of time here. There is no need to hit the panic button whatsoever. I mean, we've seen steady improvement and progress from this team since the first, you know, week, the first season that Zach took over in 2019, here to year three now. I mean, there's so much to like about this team, and Zach is absolutely the right man to be leading the charge. Every single player that I have talked to over the last 2 years has just loved getting to work under him and really respects him as a coach and a leader. And that's the thing. I mean, Zach, he's not one of those kind of rah-rah guys who's going to be out in this big spotlight. He's more of a, he strikes me as more of an under the radar, where he really has a hold of this locker room. He has the respect from his players and the rest of this coaching staff, where it almost goes without being said sometimes, that just how he goes about, you know, he brought in the right culture. He, you know, really emphasized bringing in the right people to really complement what he's building here in Cincinnati. And that's where it goes, top bottom. I mean, there is no need to panic. He is absolutely the right man for the job. I mean, Zach is going to get this team back on track.
Yeah, I was going to say John maybe can answer this, but real quick, I want to say, you look at this team and you look at, okay, some mistakes, but then, you know, I think the Chubb run, for like the 80.
Which one?
Run.
Oh, the big one.
Well, yeah, that broke our backs.
Yeah.
I mean, John can kind of tell us.
Yeah, let's hear from John. I haven't heard from John on
that. Well, I always want to talk about the tackling. And
yeah, let's hear from John. Maybe John wants to talk about something.
Well, I need the question first, man.
So, John, how much is Zach to blame for this?
For tackling?
No, the whole loss. Tackles. The whole loss. The whole loss.
Look, I think there's something to be said about the difference between like fans and the team's expectations, because the team expects to compete every single year. Like, there's never going to be a time where they don't feel like they're ready to contend. But when you go 5-2 after you were projected to win 6.5 games by a lot of betting markets, those expectations, I think, change. And players, they're not deaf. Like, they hear what is being said about them. They hear that they're getting the respect that they've been craving for the past 2 years. And when you beat the rails off the Baltimore Ravens in their home stadium, like, you're finally going to get that respect that you've desired. And ever since then, they've kind of just fallen under the new bar, the new standard that they've set for themselves. Zach said in his press conference today that, you know, they were humbled. I don't know what last week was, if that wasn't a humbling, losing to the Jets in that fashion, but I guess he couldn't say that for 2 weeks in a row. It is a critical point in this season for Zach to really establish what he wants to do now, because yes, I think Marissa has a good point. 5-4 at this point of the season, it matches a lot of expectations what you had before the season began. But once you're 5-2 and you show improvement in so many areas and show that you're this legitimate team, to underwhelm in these last 2 weeks, I think that does honestly say something about how they're managing where they are in relation to how they've improved. And unfortunately, these letdowns, they can't go really unnoticed, they can't go uncriticized in that sense.
Right. Okay, well, look.
Right. And I think the thing is, can you blame Zach? Can you blame Zach with a freak interception in the beginning of the game? That was a freak thing. The freak turnovers, those were freak. I'm okay with all that, because if all that stuff had gone different, you'd have a closer game. I'm assuming the Bengals would have won, but it wouldn't have looked so discouraging. But I think the part that had me worried was the way Chubb just kept running. Everybody just kept running.
Let's go to Bengals defense, okay. Courtney, please. Yeah, because we only have Marissa for 10 more minutes, I think.
Oh, so. Okay. Where is Elif Jordan?
Yeah, so I don't know who writes these stuff.
More tackling, less tickling.
Do you know any good interns that would work for free, or would actually allow me to charge them to work for us? Because we do need help with the preparation for the show. But basically, I think what this is trying to say is that the Bengals are not doing a good job of wrapping up, you know, skill players. Mm-hmm. And you look at the numbers against the Browns, and you know, Hubbard had a 30.5 tackling grade, Trey Hendrickson 27.8, Eli Apple 27.4, Ogunjobi 25.6. But on the year, you know, Hubbard was only 46.5, Trey Hendrickson only 35.8, and Ogunjobi 29.4. So tackling has been an issue for our guys up front overall. And you know, we know Hendrickson has gotten a good push, and we've gotten a lot of pressure and a lot of sacks. And our linebackers were doing really well until that Jets game. So I guess the question is there, you know, like even, you know, Bengals captain, the most positive guy in the history of Bengals, he, you know, he was like, I think the defense is broken. And so I guess the question is it a personnel issue? Is it a coaching issue? Or like you're saying, is it just that these are young guys and they hit a little bit of a bump in the road and they're going to correct it?
I'm sorry, Marissa, go ahead.
No, go ahead, John.
Yeah, is it impossible to just credit the Browns for being really good in this regard? They have a really
good offensive line. They weren't that good against somebody else, though. I mean, that's the thing. That's been
their one strength of this entire season. They've been having issues getting the passing game going because they didn't know how to incorporate Odell Beckham. For whatever reason, that relationship got tarnished and just didn't work once he was removed from the equation.
Better physical offense, yeah.
No, like they have really good guards and a really good center, and they have a really good left tackle, and they move guys off the ball. Like, as good as the Bengals have been in that regard, it's still a mismatch in that sense.
Well, yeah, and that's, I mean, John's absolutely right. I mean, when you look going into that game against the Browns, the Bengals had been so good against the run. They only allowed 100-yard rusher, and I think the most a team had rushed for them on was 139 yards in a game. So, I mean, they had been really, really solid up until that game against the run. And to your point, I mean, that's Cleveland's bread and butter. So, you knew that was going to be a point that they were going to really try to hit home. And I mean, it worked out for them, obviously. But, you know, when it comes down to what you're asking in terms of the defense, I mean, it's just all back to getting back to fundamentals and getting back to the basics. And it was disappointing to see the tackling be an issue two consecutive weeks in a row. You would have liked to have seen them, you know, address that a little bit more coming off of the Jets game. But, you know, that's why the bye week, I mean, is really coming at the perfect time because, John, as you were saying earlier, there's a big back half of the season for this team. There's a lot of important games and a lot of critical games that are really going to show or have to let this team kind of show what they're capable of, what they're made of. And, you know, it's going to start with a tough test right off the bat when they're going to be going into Las Vegas and having to take on a Raiders team who's shown that they're, you know, something to deal with here in the AFC. So the Bengals have a lot in front of them. There's so much at stake early on in the second half of the season, but it's also a perfect opportunity for this team to really kind of take the reins and say that, yes, we maybe arrived a season earlier than a lot of teams expected, but, you know, here's what we're capable of. Let's go make a run.
Yeah, well, let us move on because Marissa has to go, and I want to cover the topics. Can you go to finding a right guard? And look, I guess the question, Marissa, is we know right guard and center are the weak points of the offensive line. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, hey, look at this. Hold on. You know, the pressures, the Bengals only have 72 QB pressures allowed on the season, which is top 10. But the sack rate, pressure to sack rate, is 26%, which is, you know, one of the worst for Joe Burrow. And so, you know, you look at, is it, yeah, the offensive line could be a little better in terms of the right guard and center. We need that to get settled down and all that, but maybe a part of it is, you know, Joe Burrow, his play style and kind of, he's still new to the team, you know, getting the rest of the team, the offense, on the same page. Because when I watch Joe Burrow, it's the opposite of Andy Dalton. Whenever he rolls out and he wants to create, I'm like, oh, something great is going to happen. But that kind of, you know, like the guys who block for Aaron Rodgers or, you know, those kind of guys, they've seen them play for so long that they know, you know, when to hold, when to, you know, how to...
Well, these guys should know that by now, Dadio. I mean, these guys should know that by now. He's relatively new to the team, but these guys have been together quite a while. They should know that by now. They've been practicing all summer.
Yeah, I guess what I want to know is...
He was razzled. He was bedazzled. And
yeah, what happens when let's say when Joe Burrow has a game like this or the Chicago?
He was shazzled.
Is it any of those things?
What's the question?
Yeah.
I guess the question is it the offensive line and it's something that you don't think they can address because they need new guys in there? Or is it Joe Burrow's play style and, you know, let's say his inexperience and then
so you're saying is the offensive line good or bad?
Well, I guess. I mean, can they figure this out? Can they figure out how to keep Joe Burrow from getting sacked so much, getting pressured so much?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you look at the offensive line and it's improved from last year. And I know that was something that we had talked a lot about last year about the offensive line. And it's better this year than it was a year ago. Yeah. And I mean, the biggest thing has been getting consistency and building chemistry on that offensive line. And that is something we have seen this year is they've been able to get most of the same guys in there. It's not really as big of a rotation as we had seen last year, even the season prior. But I mean, when you're going to have, I mean, you know, Jackson Carmen, he's still a rookie. He's still learning. You're going to have highs and lows when it comes to a rookie, especially on that offensive line, just because of so much and what's happening with it. But, you know, it doesn't always fall on the offensive line. I think Zach Taylor did a good job of addressing that when he was asked about, you know, the play of the offensive line and how many sacks have been given up. Sometimes a lot of it is coverage sacks. I mean, you have to take that into play too. And, you know, it's going to come together. I don't think there's anything to worry about, you know, long-term. I mean, Jonah Williams, we finally have him at left tackle. He's been playing fine. And, you know, I think Riley Reiff has been an upgrade at right tackle too, guys.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let me ask you, because let's say the right guard position. That was the original question. Mm-hmm. Are they going to continue to move people around? Like, who is the right guard? Or do we know yet?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have an answer for you at this point. I know you look at Jackson Carmen and they want him to be, you know, one of those foundational pieces on the offensive line for a long time to come. That's why they drafted him in the second round. But this was finally an opportunity to see Hakeem Adeniji in there too. And so it's just really about finding the right combination and the right mix. So we'll have to see how Zach and his team address the bye week and who's going to be in there, you know, the week after.
But real quick, is there an issue with Jackson Carmen? Is he still injured with his back? Is that why Adeniji got out there? Or is it just mainly just the coach's decision to play Adeniji?
To my knowledge, it was not a lingering injury issue.
Wow. So it's drama.
I wouldn't call it drama.
We have that on the show, too. We have that. You know, every time I don't come on this show, I just want all the viewers to know I have nothing else to do. I am intentionally not coming on the show.
Yeah. Well, Borisa, let us get your prediction for the rest of the season. How will the season play out? I think you remember I predicted us to win 15 games.
Unbungled my heart. I like that.
And I'm sticking with the 15 games. I say we win 11 regular season games, and we get 4 playoff victories, the maximum number of playoff victories. And we're about halfway there. We have 5 games, you know, halfway through the season, but you have an extra game. If you do the math, that translates to 11 wins. Now, I want to know, what do you think? I know you think it's an up-and-coming team. They've exceeded expectations. They've gone through some growing pains, and they're going to be back. So originally, I think you picked them to win about 9 games. Is that where you are?
Yeah, that's still where I'm at. I think, you know, what we saw early on from this team, if they can get the defense back to playing that the way it was through the first 4 or 5 weeks, and the offense before week 9, I mean, the 3 games prior to that had 30 plus on the scoreboard each time. If they can find that right combination, I absolutely could see this team getting 9, possibly even 10 wins. It's not going to be easy when you look at the schedule, but I mean, they will get Baltimore and Pittsburgh both at home, which are going to be absolutely huge games. And then, I mean, you look at that Chargers game also, I think that's also kind of a must-win game when you given the like AFC standings. And so I think it's very possible that this team could get 9 or 10 wins, and that's kind of still where I have them about.
Okay. Well, I think we can let Marissa go. I know she has to go feed she has to go to the Bengals reception, and she has to, obviously, she's the, it is a departmental dinner, right?
Yeah.
We're just going out as our department. It's the bye week, so we just wanted to go have a dinner together tonight. So that's where we're heading.
Making appearances. Hoji doesn't know anything about that.
No. So, okay. I go when it's vegan.
So I promise Marissa we let her go on time. So we won't keep her any longer. But thank you so much for coming on the show, Marissa Cantabelli.
Of course. Thanks, you guys, for having me.
Yeah, thanks Bengals for bringing a dash of positivism to this.
Exactly. Yeah. Bengals fans, don't hit the panic button. There's nothing to be worried about. This team will get back on track.
So yeah, that is good to hear. You heard that from the official news source for the Cincinnati Bengals. Okay. Thank you, Marissa.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. So what do you think, John? How's the season going to play out?
We had, what, 11-6 to finish the season with 4 playoff
wins?
No
way.
Right.
Man, that's finishing, what, 6-2 against a lot of teams with winning records?
John, you're getting into the math. You know I don't believe in it's about you listen to
no I mean I'm introducing you to the math. I'm trying to walk you through the process.
I lost
and
you
stuff
when
like
you
that.
Said 11 and something for the, I don't know how many losses that
team. I think they can turn it around to an extent. I think that the team showed in the first 7 weeks what they were on the verge of becoming, and they kind of ran into a wall. They ran into some unfortunate situations. I don't know if they're better than the Browns. I think the Browns are clearly shown that there's still differences in talent on their rosters, but that is just another game that they have to play. But honestly, you look at their schedule, and there's only like a two or three opponents like that who you could clearly say that have innate advantages over the Bengals. Every other game is entirely competitive. And I think when you have a guy like Joe Burrow, and I know there's some issues with him being reckless and turning the ball over too much, I think a loss like this shouldn't tank your season if you believe he is that guy at quarterback who can provide you the leadership to always keep your season alive. Last year, the Buccaneers lost two games right before their bye week, and everyone counted them out, and then Tom Brady, at the ripe old age of 82, decided to go on a tear and win the Super Bowl. Like, that is what you hope Joe Burrow can be, and if there's any time for him to prove it, it's now.
Right. Yeah. And it's possible, but there's the difference, I think, is that everything was working, you know, after that for Joe Burrow. And there's a lot of stuff that would have to start working. For Tom Brady. And there's a lot of stuff that would have to start working for Joe Burrow. And I don't know if we can get it working by then. I would say I think we can beat the Steelers. I think we can beat the Ravens again. That's two wins. So that puts us at seven. And I'm trying to think who else on the schedule we could possibly beat. I can't think of any others. Oh, the Chiefs. I think we can beat the Chiefs.
Wow. So who can't we beat?
All the other ones.
Okay. So you've looked at
the schedule,
or you're just guessing?
No, I've looked at the schedule. I don't think we can beat the Raiders. I don't think
he's
we can beat the Browns.
He's just listing off AFC teams that they may or may not play.
No. I've looked at the schedule. We cannot beat the Raiders. We cannot beat the Browns again. We cannot beat the Broncos. I think that's it. I think I covered them all.
Very strange. Very strange prediction. Look, guys, look. These linebackers and our defensive line, they're not the best at tackling.
No.
Which means a physical team like the Browns is going to kill us. And, you know, the Jets don't have that, but they were like, hey, come tackle us. And we talked about how they threw the ball only, you know, a couple of inches downfield.
Yeah.
And then their guys took the, you know, caught it and just kind of kept it.
We tickled them. They tickled them instead. They tickled them. Come tickle us. Yeah.
And so that is a bad matchup, but I think they'll make the adjustment after two games. But other than that, you know, if we can figure out how to, you know, get Ja'Marr Chase the ball regularly.
They were getting him the ball. Yeah. Well, I mean, he was not doing
have the
well
home
with
run
that.
Play. He didn't have any of those home run plays.
Actually, it was the other receivers who really stepped up this last game, I thought. Yeah. It's not the best
too much. Look, if we can get into a shootout, we can beat anybody. That's what I'm trying to say.
I believe in Burrow. I love the style. I love the interceptions. I actually think it's cool that he takes risks.
Yeah, I will say this. As far as their struggles, and they do exist, they're not healthy, you know what I mean? They're not putting out players that they don't want to play, which has been the case for the past couple of years. As long as you have that health going into this back half of the season, that is an advantage over other teams. I know they suffered a couple injuries in this game, but like at least 20 of their projected preseason starters are still playing out there. It's just a matter of them playing good.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest issue is, look, it's tackling, and it's Joe Burrow. I think, yeah, maybe he's kind of going for the home runs sometimes, and that's why he's taking the sacks, and that's why maybe the interceptions. He's a little too aggressive.
But that's also how they won. I mean, listen,
a lot of those games
weren't for the explosiveness and the unpredictable and the risk taking. You wouldn't have been 5-2. So you can't have your kick.
I'm not blaming Burrow. No. What I'm saying is these are the kind of things that with experience, you know, I think he's going to look at Aaron Rodgers, John. What were the numbers for his first year he has started after sitting for 3 years? His interception rate was much higher than it was later on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, Rodgers changed his entire game as, you know, he progressed and, you know, who knows where his mind went after that.
He knew how to pick his spots, when to be aggressive. Look, I have always said this. I said this from the beginning, John. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes would have been a star in Cincinnati. I think he was in a position under the tutelage of an Alex Smith, one of the most conservative quarterbacks in recent times, and under an offensive coordinator or let's say a coach in Andy Reid, who knew how to draw up the home run plays. He didn't have to make them on his own. And so you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, whose tendency is like Burrow, even more so, to be super aggressive. And you kind of guided him through that process, and he threw 50 touchdowns his first season. So I think with these type of players, I think they just need to be shown how to translate that aggressive game to the NFL. And Burrow has been doing a better job than those other guys we mentioned.
You certainly don't want to take the aggressiveness out of his game, because like Hoji said, that is what led them to have a lot of explosive plays and to score. But these are the types of games where if you don't have those positive plays, it can run away from you quickly, and then you're down behind a team that can run the ball and can rush the passer in obvious pass rushing situations. You don't want to take the aggressiveness out of Burrow, but at the same time, you need him to make better decisions on a week-to-week basis.
I mean, what team in the NFL can win if the other side is just going to score every time they have the ball? That was the problem.
No
team can win. We were putting
in position with our turnovers and our other mistakes, right? The fourth
That's
down
true. That's true. Push. But those are the kinds of mistakes we're not going to make every game. What I'm saying is the problem was really that we couldn't stop the other side, the defense.
Yeah. We do need to stop them from scoring points. I agree. I also agree with this next point that Courtney wants to bring up. Courtney, promotion.
Oh, yeah.
So, the thing, again, you look at the Bengals and you look at the fact that, wow, that's so beautiful. That is so beautiful, Courtney.
Breaking my heart.
Look, and you look at all the money they put into the team, right? They put into DJ Reader. They put into Trey Hendrickson. And you say to yourself, it's not enough, right? No. We needed, John, we needed one more splashy defensive signing. We needed that guy. Who's the guy who went to the Bucks, the linebacker? We needed a guy like that. Similarly, this show, you look at what I was able to buy. I was able to buy John's love. I was able to buy, you know, Hoji's time. But it is not enough. We still need an Electro Voice RE27ND microphone for Dr. Yeah. Roger, the Electro
You have
voice.
To buy my love and John's
time.
My
compliance,
now.
Not necessarily my love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Speaking of love and time, guys, I actually, my Uber is here and I am attending award ceremony, so I'm out. Thanks for the show.
Okay. Well, that's all we have. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and look at all the Johns go. Okay. And we will see you next time. And I'm saying that, obviously, because the show is about to end. But you will hear the outro music.
No, I like the music that was going on. It fits more of the theme, I think, for this week.
Right. Can we get John back in the shot and some music so I can say goodbye to John? John, I hope that you subscribe to the show and leave 5-star review. Because if you didn't, that'd be really sad. And John's parents and his aunts and his uncles and his cousins, all of them. That is why we have 22 reviews on iTunes. So you go do your part. That is all we have. We will see you next time. So long. Esfiti. Pais.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.